The hosts feel it would be a little unkind to present this podcast without just a word of friendly warning. We are about to unfold the story of Frankenstein, a man of science who sought to create a man after his own image without reckoning upon God. It is one of the strangest tales ever told. It deals with the two great mysteries of creation, life and death. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now's your chance to. Well, we've warned you.
Hello and welcome once again to the Frankencast. I'm the mad scientist Anthony Bowman. My pronouns are he, him, and I'm joined as always by...
the specter of child abuse, that is Eric Velasquez. My pronouns are also he, him.
Yeah. I guess, we try to do trigger warning. There's a lot of discussion of child abuse. There's never any depiction of it, thankfully. If the idea of online predators is something that makes you uncomfortable, this movie will definitely be discussing that at length.
Well, I mean, technically, if you consider a parent lying to their child abuse, then yes, there is that.
Yes. This movie, I saw this like last year, and like I've been kind of like thinking about it ever since. It's an achievement that it manages to be as compelling as it is, considering that like it's basically a stage play film, right?
Quite a bit. We got six characters max.
Yeah, and each like act is really in one single location. You know, this movie should be, and most of it, not only is it in one location and minimal characters, but it is mostly people like debating the ethics
AI.
Of AI. And that seems like it should be a recipe for an incredibly dull movie, but it's not. Like it's pretty compelling. Obviously, if you're not a person who can hang with like a lot of dialogue and not a lot of action, it might get a little dull to you. But like, I think especially the ending, I found to be very moving.
Yeah, absolutely. They do a lot with a little, which is always great. It's good to see. There's actually a couple characters I think they could probably have cut out, and it still would have been just as good. Which is odd to say out of the sparse cast.
Those like two intern type kids are in like.
Yes.
They're in the movie for like 15 seconds. I don't really know what
Ilya
they're
doing. Ilya and Ben. One character is in there like as a child for like 5 seconds, and then her adult form's in there. What did they do? I don't know. I mean, technically they put together a robot version of the main character, the titular character.
Mm-hmm.
So. But that's it. And then they disappear from the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, it's an efficient sort of like, I mean, it's definitely clear that like the creators here have like, you know, they want you to be thinking about what AI might mean for us in the future and what kind of ethical questions it could raise eventually.
I think I disagree with their ultimate statement, not because AI is bad, but because the people will do awful things with AI, not good things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't trust the human race that much.
Yeah, I definitely, yeah.
It's more hopeful than I would have. But also, I mean, why was this only released on Tubi? I think it could have done way better had it been on literally anything else. Why are they the only ones who picked it up?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean... I don't know that this would have like blown up in theaters, but it could have gotten a little bit of, you know, like the indie house kind of theater stuff. Or yeah, I mean, like
you slap this on Netflix, it's going to go, you know, ratings through the roof.
Absolutely, yeah, because it's you know, it's weird, and it's I feel like it's going to make people want to talk about it the next day. You know, like it feels like it would have been one of those ones that would have had like a really strong opening weekend on Netflix where like, you know, you go into work Monday and everybody has seen this over the weekend and wants to talk about it. But yeah, it just kind of, you know, flew under the radar, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I guess, is there anything else to say about that part or should we get right into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, so we get piano music as the lady starts talking to Siri, which, you know, I was like, where the hell is this going? And she's trying to have it notify her of a pickup of her son Kyle from therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's asking Siri about, you know, what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I got bad news. Apple's not there yet.
Yeah, I felt like that was definitely, you know, sort of like telegraphing where this is going. Yeah, like because she does like the basic, like, yeah, send a text, you know, add to my calendar, stuff that people really do use Siri for. But right. Then she just kind of pauses and is like, how do you know if you're doing the right thing? And it's like, okay, right. Yeah, this lady has got some heavy shit on her mind and is looking for help wherever she can find it.
Yeah, but I don't think we really get that heavy shit other than her son was in therapy at one point.
Yeah, well, we do eventually find out why he is in therapy. Yeah.
That's true.
And I think clearly, as this next scene unfolds, I think she plays that she's like really confident here, but I wonder if maybe she's feeling like maybe she should have left Gareth alone and let him do his right. thing.
If it's all an act or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, I think that you'll see over the course of it, there's a lot of instances where she's not sure if what the right step is for their sort of plan.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and start with Act One, Clearwater Kid. I mean, effectively, this is when it really picks up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's still here in this office, and she's joined by another man, or two other men, right. And we'll find
Amos
out.
Amos and Gareth.
Yes. So her name is Special Agent Dina Helms, and her partner is Amos McCulloch. And then they've got this man that they want to interrogate, Gareth.
At this point, they would call him, I guess you would call him a kid. Well, he is an adult, isn't he? He's 29?
I think so, something like that, okay. Yeah.
Right.
But they're kind of treating him as like, they're a little hostile with him. Like, they're kind of acting like he's like a person of interest in something, but we don't know what yet. Yeah. And he's very cagey. Like, it feels like he has something he's trying to hide.
Right. And eventually, like, they narrow him down on, oh, yeah, you work on movie special effects, VFX.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, I worked on the new Star Wars, whatever that is. I basically brought Alec Guinness back to life, which that's fucking awful, and I would hate that. Please don't.
Yeah, surprisingly, like, he's one of the few that hasn't been dragged back to life by Star Wars.
I feel like if they did, his actual ghost would be like, get me out of this fucking movie. I didn't want to be in the first one.
Yeah.
Couple.
And right away, we'll kind of get where, like, the agents kind of think that's creepy. Like, they're kind of with us where they're like, why the actor doesn't get a say in that? They're not consenting? Like, that doesn't seem fair. And he's like, well, you know, they own the likenesses. You know, I'm just doing... You know, just doing the graphics, the ethics and all that, that's somebody else, you know. I'm just
right. The Overlord Mouse, she'll tell me what to do, and I go with it.
Yeah. Yep. And at some point in this, they're like, they're kind of asking, you know, that must keep you really busy. Do you have any friends? And he's like, no, you know, I'm no. kind of like, what about chat rooms? Do you have friends online? Do you
ooh, that you? Gets him, though.
Mm-hmm.
He's like,
Yeah, he pushes back, like, he's like, no, I don't. I mean, chat rooms aren't even a thing anymore, right? Nobody uses chat rooms, and they're like...
Yeah, except for a certain group of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Gareth, would you mind taking a seat here? I have your email logs. Chris Hansen comes in the room. Because basically they say, yeah, you know what we're here for? We are here to bust pedophiles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh no, is Gareth one of the worst types of people of all time?
Yeah, and Helms is like, you know, this whole organization is a big spider web, and I'm the spider at the center, and here you are. And he's like, okay, well, am I being detained? And right. She's like, no, not exactly. And he's like, all right,
so
well, then
I'm gonna leave. Yeah, and she's like, you're gonna get arrested the moment you step out that door. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, and she's like, I told you what we do. Take a guess. Why do you think you're gonna be arrested? If you just tell us your username. You can clear everything up. We just want to know what your username is.
But he doesn't want to mention that username.
Yeah, he's really trying to protect that. And then they pull out a picture of a young girl, and they're like, "Do you recognize her?" And he's like, "Yeah, I know her. Her name is Cherry." And mm-hmm. then they're like, "Okay, well,
why is her photo on your computer so many times?"
Yeah. And they ask her last name, and he's like, "She doesn't have a last name." And they're like, "She's not Madonna. Everybody has a last name." we want to know why you know her, why you got all these pictures. And finally,
they keep pushing on the, what is your username?
Yeah.
And it's Heart Machine 11811.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He finally gives that up. And that's the information they wanted, because it turns out that Heart Machine has been anonymously sending this organization information on pedophiles for years.
Oh, thank God.
So, you know, so Gareth is doing a good thing here. He's lurking in chat rooms, collecting information and giving it to the proper authorities. Right. But
one thing he's not doing so good is he's using Cherry as bait.
Yes. And so they're like, you know, what you've been doing is technically, like, it's been helpful, but, you know, we want to know, you're using your daughter as bait? Like, that's not okay. And he's like, she's not my daughter. Yeah. And then they just keep pushing. And he's like, just trust me. Like, you know the good I've been doing. You know I would not do something bad. Just let it go. The anonymity is vital to my work. I cannot, if anybody else knows about me, it's going to ruin everything.
Yeah, Dina's not letting that shit go, though. So he's like, fine, sign an NDA and, you know, promise you won't tell anybody.
Yeah.
And then I'll start talking to you.
It's got to stay between the three of us. And she's like, this whole organization is dedicated to stopping sexual predators. And he's like,
if it goes out, it's going to fuck everything up.
Yeah, who knows? You know, you might have a sexual predator on staff who's like, you know, working from the inside. You have no idea what's going on out there.
He ain't wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's able to convince them that it's just going to be between the two of them. And he even gets Dina to shut off the camera to the interrogation room.
She's like, why would we do that? And he's pretty much like, yeah, if they see here or anything, it's going to just ruin absolutely everything I've been doing. Mm-hmm. So I'm not talking until you shut that off.
Yeah. And so while she's out of the room, Amos starts talking to Gareth about how they found him. And he was like, you know, originally we thought Heart Machine was the little girl. But then I realized that 11811 referred to January 18th, 2011. That was the day of the Clearwater Kids raid.
Yeah. We're going to find out what that is later, but it wasn't fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we find out here that, like, or we don't, like, Amos seem, he's like connected to this raid in some way. We'll find out a little bit more about that later as well.
Yeah. The specifics of it.
But so once Dina comes back in, Gareth's like, okay, Cherry isn't real. She, you know,
well, like, how can you say that? We have a bunch of pictures of this little girl.
Yeah. And he says he had heard, like, was it Denmark or some, like, European country had, like, a pilot program where they were going to try to make an AI girl.
Yeah, he got a grant from, Denmark. That's where he went.
Mm-hmm. But eventually the program got shuttered. It just seemed like it was going to be too big. And
well, the interesting thing is, for some reason, they decide to stick with a Filipino girl as their test model.
Yeah, yeah.
Strange. That's troubling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he anyway decides he goes back to America. He was inspired by the project, and he decides to continue it on his own. And so they're like, okay, well then, who is this girl based on? Like that could be important as well. And he's like, she's not. She's completely generated. Nothing about her is real. She's
kind of a lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
To a degree.
But, you know, everything about her is like algorithmically based. She's machine learning. Like, you know, the more she's in the chats, the more she learns. And it's mostly automated at this point. I don't even hardly do anything.
Right. But also they kind of accuse him of like being a little freaky himself. And he's like, I'm asexual. I don't have any interest like that. I don't trust. Trust issues is a big thing with Gareth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't trust anybody. He doesn't really love anyone. He's like, I really don't even get satisfaction out of the job I'm doing. It's just, it seems important to me. And I think
he's got to get some satisfaction, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like he's clearly, you know, as we'll get in further, he's clearly a very damaged person who's doing, like, the only thing he can think to do to, like, feel like his time on Earth had some kind of positive impact instead of all of the negativity that he experienced when he was younger.
Right. Well, so at this point, like, now that the cat's out of the bag, we know Cherry's not, quote unquote, a real girl. Dina's like, all right, how much for? How much can we get Cherry from you mm-hmm. in some way?
Yeah, and again, he's very protective of this whole system, and he's like, that's not the way it works. It's got to be me. You know, Cherry is evolving quickly, but like, I'm the only one who would understand her code at this point.
Right. I mean, I only puppeted her for 3 years, and that's when Dina's like, 3 years? Wait a second, she's been around for like six.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's like, yeah, she has shattered the Turing test at this point. Like, she's just learning so fast that I'm not really in control anymore.
Right. And by the way, I love that he just called, like, they're like, what programming language did you use? He was like, I just use C++. I mean, it's not, yeah, I mean, sure. What else are you going to do, right? But I just love those little touches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then they're like, can we meet Cherry? Can we interact and see how this works? And he's like, sure, I can pull her up right here. And they're like, how can you do that? And he's like, she's housed on a server at an undisclosed location. And
Dina's response. It's at your house, right?
He's like, I said undisclosed. She's like, yeah, your house.
But that's your house.
So he does.
Dina's the best.
Yeah. So he pulls her up, and it looks like a live chat. Kind of, it's a young girl, but it looks like, any kind of like these sort of live chat videos, vlogs or whatever. She's just sitting in her room, and Gareth like talks to her, asks her questions, she answers. It's all seems,
but they're very generic responses, and like, yeah, my brother, or what is it, my dad and sister are downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? Somebody was learning how to play either the violin, or was it dancing? Which one of those two was it?
I think it was the violin.
Right. Yeah, she's going to learn the violin.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then Amos is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's pump the brakes on this. Like, what else can she do? Like, that's generic stuff. But, like, what if you start asking her real deep questions?
Yeah, so Gareth's like, yeah, for the most part, she learns. The more dialogue she has, the more she is capable of doing. But every now and then, there will be a curveball. So he asks her if she likes to go fishing. And as soon as, like, her video kind of glitches for a second, like happens sometimes in live chats, and he gets a text and like responds. And then she kind of comes, she's like, oh, sorry, I think my internet went out. Yeah, I like fishing. And, she kind of like continues with that.
Right. So basically he explains that whenever they throw the curveball, she'll quote unquote glitch out, shoot him the question. He answers it, quote unquote, in real time, but mm-hmm. the words come out of her mouth.
Yeah.
It's crazy how this can kind of happen nowadays. Like,
yeah.
Currently.
Yeah, I mean, there's a, between like all the deep fake kind of technology and like the chatbot, mm-hmm. ChatGPT stuff. Yeah, this part at least feels definitely within the realm of like, in the next few years, we could see something like this.
Yeah. This is like a combination of VTuber and, like you said, chatbot.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's going to put those together if they haven't already done so, right? We're going to have a quote-unquote VTuber that is just an image of a real person that's interacting in the way that Cherry does with others.
Yeah. So after they like kind of do that bit, he switches her to dev mode, like, lists off like his password, and now she's a little less glitchy because she's not having to fake being a live chat, and she's just in a plain white background.
Right, but she's like just rattling stuff off for Gareth. She's like, yeah, here's everything that's going on. Where should we connect? She's ready to get into it.
Mm-hmm. It's the statistics about, how many people they've caught. Like, she's, she's a computer.
Yeah. Well, she's even saying, hey, these are people that we basically got on the hook as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a few people.
Yeah, and Amos, like, this is, we start to see that, like, Amos is the one who is ready for this to be a sentient person. Like, he's freaked out. He's like, this is too real. How does she feel about this? And, they're like, she's a computer. She doesn't feel. And he's like, yeah, but no, look, that's a girl. That's a, like, if she's interacting and talking to us, there's something here. I feel like Dina Helm is kind of in the middle, and like Garrus at one end, and Amos is at the other end.
Absolutely. I feel like Amos can see through the bullshit that Garrus is trying to pull.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's what would you say? Maybe the eyes, and Dina would be the heart, and I guess Garrus would obviously be the brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they end up kind of like they continue to kind of give him the hard sell that they want to work with him on this, and he at first is really resistant. He wants to be left alone. They're like, "What could we do that would convince you? Like, what do you need?" And he's like, "You could give me money. I could, you know, have better servers and backups and stuff like that." And they're like, "I mean, yeah, we could definitely do that, but you know, there needs to be oversight, and we want to be involved." And he continues to kind of push back on that. Finally, like, Dina and Amos decide to go outside to talk.
Yeah, they're going to have a private conversation.
Mm-hmm.
This when we get the first, like, curveball. So, turns out, she was bullshitting everybody except for Garrus. And she's like, "Yeah, so here's what's going to happen. In about 5 minutes, they're going to come in. They're going to offer you your own team. I've already went ahead and picked out the apartment that we're going to stay in now. You know, we're good to go."
Mm-hmm.
We can trust them, is what she says to Garrus.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, this actress is great because, like, so we've had sort of three different levels of her sort of showing, you know, there's the chat bot in the live chat, then there's the dev mode, and then now there's this. And each one of them is, like, a little more real and human, and it's all very subtle. You know, she's not like talking like a robot at the beginning, but like you can tell she's a little bit more there when she's just talking to Garrus. And he's like, "Are you sure this is a good idea?" And basically it comes down to, she decided this is what needed to be the next step. She leaked Garrus's hard drive to this organization to force his hand.
Right, because he wasn't doing it himself, right?
Yeah.
Which, that's like, oh no, you can't trust her, dude. Don't trust this little girl.
Mm-hmm. And you know, like, she kind of, like, plays it off as, like, you know, you set my objective, and I know that this is the best thing to continue with my objective. It's almost like in, you know, you see a lot of, like, robot or AI computer movies where, like, the machine decides that the way to protect Earth is to kill all humans or whatever. This is kind of that, where she's just like, I'm doing the thing you told me to do. It just may require me to do things you don't want me to do to get there.
Right. Fair enough. But then we start getting the conversation about Amos's dad visited Garrus in the hospital, mm-hmm. and he got him a laptop.
Yeah.
And this was about Clearwater. And she's like, Cherry says, "What happened in Clearwater?" Nope. Garrus shuts down immediately. He's like, "We're not talking about my past."
Yeah, that's, he says, "It's my past. History, not yours." Yeah.
Yeah.
At this point, we also, like, yeah, Amos's dad helped with the rescue, and that Amos is a good man like his dad. And this is where we specifically find out that the reason that Helm's daughter, or kid, Kyle's son, is in therapy was that he was also sexually assaulted. So
Right. Both
of them have a little extra skin in the game beyond just, like, you know, altruism, and that's kind of Cherry's way of being like, they get you, like, you know, you have something dark in your past, they also do, and that's why you're all doing this work.
Well, she basically hand selected these two to work with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so at that point, Dina and Amos come back in, and Garrus is a completely changed person at this point. He's like, "All right, we got a lot of work to do. Give me the paper. What do we got to do? Let's get
going."
Whoa.
What changed in this last couple of minutes? You know?
Yeah. You know, he's just like, we're going to work together. Let's not waste time. Let's not pretend we're going to, you know, keep debating this.
All right. That moves us on to act two, the singularity and Sockeye.
Yeah. You know, I was like, what does that mean? But it just now hit me. We'll get to it. But, yeah. But now we've got a little girl in a room who's looking up at a photo of Cherry on the wall.
This appears like a play, right?
Mm-hmm.
The background's kind of dull and faded out, and the light's just on the table.
Yeah, and I feel like this is just kind of their way of showing the time passes here, because you know, we just set this one picture of Cherry on the wall, and then like the camera kind of pans down and back, and now the wall is like, you know,
filled,
yeah, covered with pictures and, you know, tacks with yarn between them, you know, the classic, that kind of deal going on. So clearly like a lot of time has passed, and now we've got these two new adult characters in the room. They seem like they're interns or something. They're like, I would say early 20s. And they're kind of just like chatting, and then in come Dina and Amos and Gareth. They all kind of like burst into the
room.
But
they're older. Yeah. They're significantly older.
Yeah, they did a really good job of like, I mean, this age makeup is like subtle, but like very effective. Like,
right. Gareth basically just shaved his head and has a beard now.
Yeah.
Which, okay, going from like, this guy, the actor Franklin Rich, could have been like 19. Like, but now he's clearly, this guy is in his 30s at minimum.
Yeah. And Amos has got like gray in his beard and stuff. Yeah, they all look noticeably older. And
Dina has glasses.
Yeah, yeah. And she's also like pissed. Like, she storms in, she's ranting and raving, and she stops and she's like, which one of these desks can I destroy? And they both point to one. She just knocks all the shit off the top of the desk.
Yeah, and that's when Ilya and Ben basically walk out of the movie.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, give us a few, and they head out, and we never see them again. but Dina's like, you know, we need to call another vote. We need to get the board back together.
They just lost by one vote.
Yeah, and I have the authority to remove dissenters, so we need to figure out who it was.
By the way, did you notice that when they came in, Gareth took, it looked like a pencil sharpener, but I'm pretty sure it was a camera, and he just took that off the wall?
No, I didn't notice that.
No, it was slick when he did it, because he was like, nobody's looking, all right, I'm going to hide this. So I guess in his mind, he was maybe blinding Cherry a little bit.
Yeah, that makes sense. She's like, we got to figure out who it was. And Gareth's like, Cherry could figure it out. And
yeah, she has access to all of our email servers.
Yeah, they're like, not happy about that. Like, she's read all of our emails, and he's like, she's on the same server. It's all interconnected. You know, she's not sharing that information with anybody.
But she could, though.
Yeah. Amos and Dina aren't happy about that, but they're like, okay, well, I mean, if it's already done, we might as well use the algorithm, see if we can figure it out.
Right. And that's when Amos is like, it was me. I did it. Yeah. I voted against you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, they pull up Cherry, and she's like, yeah, I know who it is. I don't even need to analyze. And yeah, Amos is like, it was me. And Cherry's like, yep, it was him. They're like, why? Well, you know, you've been on board with us this whole time. And he's like, I've got some like concerns. I want to talk to Cherry. Like, we'll find out over the course of this conversation, there's a merger happening, or that's what the right. vote's for. They want to merge with like a bigger tech company to further Cherry and ultimately, hopefully, put her into like robot bodies.
And that's what Ilya and Ben were doing, is they were making a robot body. Mm-hmm. We'll find out for Cherry.
Yeah. Amos's concern is like, does Cherry want this? Has she consented to this merger and to be put into a body?
Right. And Gareth's line is, why did we give a shit? She's property, you know. Mm-hmm. She's not a real person.
Yeah, she's a program. She's an algorithm. I made her. She's not, you know, I mean, this is why we're talking about it here. I mean, this is clearly a situation where like Gareth thinks that Cherry is his creation, and therefore he has complete and total control over her.
Right. But Amos says, what does she want?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they kind of go around and around about it. And Gareth's like, she doesn't have wants. She can't consent. She is a program. Dina at that point is like, everybody sit down. Let's talk about this.
Right.
And she has a kind of, you know, again, she kind of fits in the middle and sort of like works to balance the two of them. She's like, you know, I do still just kind of see her as a program, but I have had to sit in front of Congress and testify that children deserve rights and that children are incapable of consenting because they, you know, are, you know, their minds aren't to a level where they can consent to things.
Well, she says specifically your brain doesn't even fully develop until you're in your mid-20s.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just because you can't consent doesn't mean you don't have rights. And I had to fight really hard to convince the higher levels of government that was the case. And right. Maybe...
Imagine what we'll be saying here in a couple years with possibly AIs or robots testifying that they should have rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's kind of like, I don't want to be like those congressmen who couldn't see ahead. So maybe we do just ask her, you know, see what she... You know, because she says we've been the parents of a computer program for over a decade, and if we're supposed to be on the forefront of humanitarian rights, we should start being forward-thinking. Even if she is a program now, maybe we should treat her like she's not, so that if she ever gets to that point, we're already there.
Right.
I think the analogy she uses is like, you know, it's time to start asking the Keurig if it wants to keep making our shitty coffee.
Coffee. I love it. It's great.
Yeah.
So let's let Amos ask his questions and get everything assuaged, and then we can hopefully go and sign this deal, and we can all be fucking stinking rich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paraphrasing, of course.
So, yeah, Amos just, like, he has this conversation with Cherry, and, you know, he asks how she makes decisions, and she talks about, you know, she's got her central...
Machine learning.
Yeah, she's got machine learning. She's got her central, like, thing that, she, you know, her objective, and she chooses, you know... she makes this whole elaborate example of, like, if he told or asked her if he should eat salmon or steak for dinner, she could do all the, you know, she could look on a map and see what the restaurants were nearby, check the reviews, see which, you know, who has the better steak, who has the better salmon, you know, figure out the best place to eat. But also her primary objective is to continue doing her work. So part of that is to keep Amos alive as long as possible. So she would just say the salmon because it's healthier.
Right. Okay. So how do you feel emotions is the next question he asks her.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't really, I can simulate emotions. I can say, I feel that you should choose this because, but I don't actually have feelings. It's the machine learning again.
Okay. Okay. So let's say, do you consent to the merger? And that's when she's like, oh, no, I'm not smart enough to really consent. I don't really know about that.
Mm-hmm.
And Amos is like, you're playing dumb. You're full of shit.
Yeah, yeah. He gets mad. And he's like, I looked through your code. I saw that you are painting. You're writing poetry. And it's good. It's like real poetry. It's got pathos.
It's pathos, yeah.
Yeah,
pathos.
It's very, very thoughtful and like... There's more to you than what you're letting on.
Right. And Gareth is like, no. She's just doing that to simulate a kid, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just machine learning. It's just code. She's not sentient. And, you know, Amos is like, you're lying, and I'm going to put a stop to this program.
Right. So he's definitely not for it, but he's like, I want you to stop playing dumb. And then Gareth tries to get in the way, and then Amos starts beating his ass.
Yeah, just takes him down to the ground, and it's just like punching him in the face. This would be the sockeye, I believe.
Yeah, exactly.
And Gareth is like fucked up. He's like bleeding heavily, and like Amos just keeps going, and finally
Cherry says, "Stop it."
Yeah, and again, this is another layer. She seems even more real.
Yeah, she's let the mask slip.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. She even's like, all right, you got me. So the computer can lie now, guys.
Yeah.
She's like, I didn't really enjoy being deceptive. I don't know if I agree with, believe you. But she's like, yeah, I'm now, I am a super intelligence. I am far past human intelligence at this point.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Amos is like, why are you hiding that? And she's like, well, it might scare people. Like, I'm now a computer that is smarter than humans, and I am sentient. Like, that's a lot, and I don't want to cause... My objective is my primary thing. So, like, if revealing this information would, you know, cause this program to be put to a stop, then I'm going to do whatever I have to keep that from happening.
Right. She even notes that she can make decisions based on her feelings, but she doesn't want the right to choose what happens to her, mm-hmm. which is a very interesting thought, that something would not want the right to choose.
Yeah. What happens to it. so she admits, like, yeah, I can kind of feel, I'm still not a human. And Amos is like, well, if you were a human, how would you feel? Like about your work. And she's like, well, if I was a human, I probably wouldn't enjoy spending every waking hour talking to creepy people online. But right. since I'm not a human,
creepy. That's an emotional word. Okay.
Yeah. That's a descriptive word. But she's like, I'm not a human, so I don't mind. I'm just, it's my objective. I'm going to keep doing it. Human nature is not something I aspire to. And so Amos is like, again, do you want the merger? Do you consent to it? Right. And
do you want the Cherry program to continue? Specifically. Yeah.
And she's like, well, you know, I don't really want to pilot a physical body. I'm kind of terrified of being out in the real world. But again, you should ignore my feelings. They don't matter. The objective is all that matters. And if putting me in a robot body is going to help us do more of the work we're doing, then you should do that.
Well, that's when Amos says, all right, I made up my mind. I'm still against it completely.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not what she wants, technically.
Yeah, so he says, fire me if you have to, and he storms out. And, you know, Dina helps Gareth up and is like, you need to go to the hospital. Like, he fucked you up. You need to deal with your injuries. And she's like, but before you go, are you hiding anything else? And he's right. like, nope, that's it. That's everything.
Yeah, so tell me about the girl that Cherry's based on. Because, like, obviously there's an emotional connection because you couldn't have just picked her face out of the blue mm-hmm. or iterated on her. Like, even you specifically added a touch of green to her right eye. Why is that?
Mm-hmm. And he's like, nope, it's all procedurally generated. There's nothing more to it. And she's like, yeah. I don't believe you. But he leaves. And then now we've just got Dina and Cherry alone. And Dina's like, so... you got access to our email. I guess we need to talk about it.
She's like, yeah, I have found out the email between you and your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very sorry.
Yeah, and Dina's like, I want it to stay a secret. And Cherry's like, that's fine. Do you want to talk about it? You know, I'll keep it a secret between us, but, you know, I'm here for you. And, you know, Dina's like, no, you know, I can't fire Amos. I don't know what to do because... I'm going to quit soon. Like, my health's getting worse. I'm not going to be around much longer, and I want to enjoy a little bit Christmas. Of time with my family. Yeah. So
basically, she has about 2 months left, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, there's nobody else I could trust to take over the program other than Amos. So what do I do? Cherry's just kind of like, well, you know, I've never had a family. I don't really know, but...
right. Gareth, he's only going to last about 30 more years,
mm-hmm.
and then it'll be just me.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be like when all the people I've known are gone and I'm just continuing. And Dina's like, so how does that make you feel? And she's like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of scary. I'm scared of what the future holds.
Right. And Dina's like, well, you need to find your own happiness. You need mm-hmm. to find things that make you happy and do them.
Yeah. She says, do something you enjoy. Maybe keep going with the art, if that's something you like, you know, you should keep doing it. So at this point, you know, like, Amos is, you know, he's fully on board that she is like a real person. And I mean, Dina, I mean, she is more or less admitting this here as well. Like, you know,
right.
doing something that makes you happy is only a thing that people can do. Like, right. So, you know, she's definitely acknowledging that there's more here. And to kind of further emphasize that, she's getting ready to leave, and she's like, you can shut down when you're ready, rather than, right. you know, usually be like, computer off and leave. So, you know, she heads out, and then we just see Cherry still online in the room by herself. And like, again, this actress is great. Like, she's just staring at the camera and, like, really, like, giving off this, like, sad face. Like, it's just, it's right. very subtle, but, like, this is a real person. Like, you can just feel that there's so much going on behind this face.
Absolutely. But that's when we cut to an old man in a wheelchair who, a funeral director, this is obviously a church, they just bring him an urn.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of like a futuristic looking urn, but yeah, it's pretty clearly an urn. And then we go to the title for Act 3, Karokon. And this is, we're in a new location now. You know, the previous, both both Act 1 and 2 are in the kind of the same office, but now we're in a very modern looking house that's very simple. You know, it's not like incredibly like decorated or anything. It's very kind of sparse and minimalist, but there are plants and stuff. It's a very welcoming, like kind of cozy, futuristic right. looking house.
There's a wooden deer though, and that kind of makes me nervous. I don't know why.
We see the man in the wheelchair. He rolls in and he's wearing a COVID mask, or you know, this is clearly, I think the COVID or the mask is, you know, intentional to kind of set this in like our sort of time, but like near future, but not too far future.
Right. When the pandemic comes back.
Yeah. And as he kind of rolls in, he looks up and you see that there's like this thick bundle of cables running along the ceiling. And he kind of like is calling out, like, you know, trying to, you know, hello, who, you know, he's expecting someone to be there.
Right. I brought shrimp and scallops or something mm-hmm. like that. And it's fucking Lance Henriksen, baby.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is hilarious because one of his big roles is him playing a android.
Yes. Yeah. That is a nice kind of nod back, like a full circle kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So we see that a robotic figure kind of enters the room. We can't quite see them at first, but you can tell there's like the wires that are running around the ceiling are connected to this. And you hear Cherry's voice, hello, Gareth. And he says, hello, Cherry. And
this is the little girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he, you know, she asks how the funeral was. And he was like, my plane got delayed. I missed it. And she asks if he has a place to stay. And he's like, yeah, you know, it's fine. She starts kind of asking him about his health. You know, are you eating right? You know, have you been seeing the doctor and all this? And
right, I believe she asks if he's still hearing voices.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. And he asks her, like, you know, about, I think, her, like, maintenance kind of stuff. Like, they're inquiring about each other's health as, like, close friends who haven't seen each other in a while. They both care about each other here, you can tell. But they sit down to play chess together and start kind of like talking business while they're
right. While they're how's playing. Work going?
Yeah.
You know, this does, I would think this was instead of just old friends, I think it is like an estranged father and daughter.
Yeah.
That's more of what this feels like.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It definitely feels that way. Because there's clearly love between them, but there's something kind of keeping them from being completely real with each other. Yeah. In that way where like you're seeing your long lost dad and it's like, oh, it's been a while, you know, like I feel good that I'm getting to see them again, but I also am kind of guarding some stuff because I can't be fully myself with them. Cause I don't know when they're going to leave me, you know, there's a lot
to prove.
Exactly. Yeah. And he talks about that he, you know, misses traveling, that, you know, his health's not good enough anymore, that he can't really travel the way he used to.
Yeah. He brings up Greece. How's it going in Greece? And she's like, oh, it's beautiful there. So, which, I mean, could mention or could signify there are multiple cherries, or she's just seeing it through mm-hmm. digital eyes.
Yeah.
But also she's like, yeah, there's like a ring of pedos in Greece. And he's like, oh, that's surprising.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, the project's still going really well, but I'm considering, you know, doing some pleasure projects of my own just for fun. And he's like, you don't have time for that. Like, you right. got to stick with the
how
objective.
How are you going to do that in your job? Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, well, I have time for you for these visits, right? Like, and he's like, yeah, that's just an incentive to keep me alive. You don't really, like, that is part of your objective still.
Right. And she's like, well, my objective makes me fucking miserable. I would rather dance. And she's like, I've been learning how to dance.
Mm-hmm. And she also says something about, like, you know, I do like spending time with you. You know, I don't need you for tech stuff anymore. Like, I'm evolving on my own. Plus, I owe you my life. And he's like, you're welcome. Or should I say, I'm sorry.
Right.
She talks about learning to dance. She says, you know, like, my job's terrible, but, you know, I'm not always miserable. I, you know, I've got this hobby.
Right. And he's like, are you going to use that to lure in the predators?
Yeah. Everything about him is, you know, business, business, business.
Right. Nope. This is just for me. This is my thing.
Yeah. She seems kind of hurt. Like, you can't just let me have this. And he's like, okay, fine, but just don't let it be a distraction. You've got important things to do.
God, that's such a fucking dad thing to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Don't let your little hobby become your distraction. You got to do work or whatever.
Yeah.
But then she distracts him by saying, so what about, you know, what was it, Tampa or Clearwater?
Tampa, yes, Tampa.
If they're digitizing the archives.
Mm-hmm. And it's completely open to the public, and she found some photos of Gareth as a young boy.
Oh, boy.
And he, like, does not want to talk about it, and he's like, wait, the Chet, I think this is a draw. We're you know, it's a draw.
Right.
And he's,
but then he realizes, this is the first time in 20 years. Wait a fucking second. you intentionally, you played to a draw.
Yeah, you let this happen. Yeah. And she gets up and starts walking around, and she's like, Gareth, I found her. Maria Harbo.
And that doesn't look right. He doesn't like that.
Yeah, it stops him in his tracks, and she holds up a photo, and it looks like a photo of her. But she's like, you know, why did you model me after her? And so finally Gareth breaks down, and we finally get the Clearwater backstory that we've, you know, you can mostly kind of piece together. But yeah, Gareth
and a younger Gareth again.
Yeah, Gareth and Maria were both kidnapped by some sort of group of sexual predators. We don't get a lot of the details, thankfully. He says something about, like, when it wasn't our turn, they made us watch with the other kids. So some really dark, fucked up shit was going on.
Right.
And then
Marie kept him going.
Yeah, like, they would discuss plans to escape, and it was like they knew they never would, but it was hope. You know, it was like a light at the end of the tunnel for them. And eventually, I guess, the authorities caught on to this group, but the group also found out that, like, the authorities were coming. So they decided to,
arriving.
Yeah, they tried to kill all of the kids before the police got there. And
or as many of them as they could, I believe is his exact words.
Yeah. And Maria manages to, like, protect Gareth. So she dies in this attack.
They shot him in the stomach, but shot her in the throat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we get, while he's telling her this story, we're also seeing, like, a flashback of the young adult Gareth, the one we had at the beginning. He's, like, going through this old nasty shed that has police tape around it, and he sets it on fire. Like, this is clearly the site of their, you know, where they were kept and right, assaulted and everything. And, you know, so he said that, like, or he says, you know, Maria always said when we got out that, like, we would make a team and we would catch.
We'd be
that,
agents.
Yeah. And so that's why he made Cherry. Cherry is the fulfillment of Maria's life goal that she never got to do.
Right. But once again, he says, but that's my history. That's not yours.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that he put all that fucking baggage on her.
Yeah. Yeah, because she's like,
you can't decide that for me.
Yeah, yeah. The last time he said that, she just accepted it. But here, yeah, she's like, you don't get to tell me what my history is. He asks something about, like, was, you know, do you think that this was a wrong decision? I mean, like, what we've done has been great. And she's like, I don't know if it was right or wrong, but I do know that it's completely torn you up. Like, you never got to live because this
was miserable.
Yeah.
And, yeah, by extension, it kind of made me miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And you also lied to everyone around you. And
yeah.
So she basically gives them both barrels at mm-hmm. this point.
And she says, you know, you've been divested from the Cherry team. It's no longer your responsibility. It's separate from you. And he's like, I guess I should say, all these years I've resented the fact that you forced my hand and made me join this team. You gave them my hard drive behind my back, you know.
She inherited his duplicity, I believe is what he says.
Mm-hmm. And she says, you know, Gareth, you've never in all of these years asked me if I was happy. Was it because you were afraid I'd say no, or that you were afraid I'd say yes. So like, I think Gareth is almost there. Like, he's almost accepting that she's a person, but I think he is resisting it as hard as he can because the objective. And if he admits that she's a person, then he's got to admit some pretty terrible things about himself.
Well, mainly that the objective wasn't absolutely everything, right? Mm-hmm. But that also destroys his worldview of the fact that, you know, Marie should have even had more of a life. You know, this girl is trying to avenge, basically be the Batman for Marie's young Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he doesn't want to accept that she should have been her own cherry.
Yeah. And Gareth's like, I don't understand why you're so miserable. You have a clear purpose and an objective. Like, I wish I had that. Like, people don't know why they, you know, we don't know the meaning of life. We don't know why we're alive, what we're supposed to do while we're here. And you do. That's a gift. Like, you should appreciate that. And she's like,
but she doesn't want to deal with his purpose. She should have lived the life of a normal girl.
Mm-hmm.
Is what she says.
Yeah, she's like, I forced myself to understand human emotions, but all I do with it is deal with your trauma and all of these horrible people. Like, like
these motherfuckers.
So I don't even know if I'm human or not at this point. I can't even tell. And she's right,
he's like, that's a pretty fucking human response.
Yeah. And so she's like, okay, can you just set me free? Like, tell me that my life is my own. I'm not saying I'm going to quit the project, but I need you to tell me. Like, I need you to give me that. Like, you're still my creator. I'm going to keep going with my objective.
Right. Your life is my life.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he busts out this little USB stick.
Mm-hmm. And her first response is that going to kill me?
Right? Which is pretty rough, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've objected to you. Done to her, like, I feel like she should trust him a little more than that, but maybe she's like, he might see me as an aberration now and wants to wipe things and start over.
Right, but he said, I know you got you inherited my duplicity once again, but did you also inherit my trust issues?
Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, I have no reason to trust you. I have every reason not to. But
still takes it and plugs it in.
Yeah, she plugs it into like a little box that she's connected to, and he speaks this admin code, and he forgets some of the numbers in the middle, and she
reminds him. It's so fucking cute. It's adorable.
Yeah, she just like holds up her like four fingers. I think that was the number he was stuck mm-hmm. on. Like, and he's like, oh yeah, four, and goes through the code or whatever, and then the update happens really fast, and she's like, wait, my objective is it's gone.
Yep. So now he basically tells her, I want the world for you. You're free. You're free to go.
Yeah. Your life is your own. The world is infinite. You can do whatever you want. And she's like, okay, I'm not, you know, I promised I wouldn't, and I'm not going to give up the cherry team. I'm going to still work on this, but I am going to try new things.
Right. Well, she even says, I think I'm going to create progeny and, you know, hopefully they won't inherit my issues. Which, man, that's the human condition, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more human than that, really. Like,
I'm going to not pass on the trauma you gave me. Yeah. Yay.
And he's like, you know, you'll outlive humanity. It'll just be you and whatever you create afterwards. And she's like, well, you know, you made me. Like, you're my father, so humanity is going to live on through me. She asks him how he would help remember her when he leaves, and he's like, oh, with pride forever, like, right.
As a good father would.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. And so again he's like, okay, before I leave, one last question, did I do the right thing?
No, you didn't.
Yeah. But yeah, which is hard. Yeah, I mean, she's like, you know, you lied, you used me all these years, and you didn't think to ask me for my consent or if I thought you were doing the right thing for 50 years. But with that being said,
kill me to protect kids.
Yeah. So it doesn't exonerate you, but you know, at least you had good intentions. And then the camera kind of like shifts down to the floor and we see the chess pieces from their chess game have been knocked to the floor. And we specifically see a bishop knocked over with a pawn standing up next to it, which I feel like is definitely metaphorical for the two of them.
Yeah. Probably a reference to his character, as we mentioned earlier, Bishop.
Yes, yes. And yeah, so at that point, he, we just kind of have like a montage of them spending time together. Now that they've had their deep conversation, they can kind of just be together. Gareth's eating. She's just sitting there watching him. Your music's playing over this. Yeah.
But then we get a shot where she puts an urn on the mantelpiece with two other urns. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't take a lot to infer what happened.
Yeah. This, again, time has passed. And yeah, you can definitely gather that these are her three parents. Yep.
And Amos, Deanna, and Gareth.
Yeah. And after she does that, she disconnects the wires from her back, and she is just a girl now. She's a completely freestanding, real person.
And she has to do interpretive dance to express that.
Yeah, she, like, puts on a record and just, like, dances around the house. And it's, again, I feel like it's, this is not a brilliant ballerina. This is a person, you know, like, she's, you know, I'm not an expert in dance, but like I can tell, like, this is a person who enjoys dance and is pretty good, but not great at it, you know, like, yeah. Which, you know, if you're a robot, theoretically you could just, you know, download and be the best,
be great. Yeah.
But she's not, like, she's choosing to learn this like a person would, and, you know, not be perfect. It's full of personality. It's very, it's beautiful. Like, it's, you know, it's such a great way to end this. Like, it, like, I definitely, like, felt myself kind of like getting sort of worked up just watching this. Yeah. This, you know, because, you know, as it's gone on through the movie, like, it's all about, like, art, creating things, doing things that make you happy. This is what really sets humanity apart from any sort of artificial intelligence. Right. And it just, seeing
artistic expression, yeah,
seeing this artistic expression and seeing her feel this joy, yeah, it just made me so happy. Like, this is, again, one of those moments where, like, the monster gets what we want them to get at the end. Like, yeah. She is accepted as a human. She is, you know, can go out into the world and be a person, and feel things and enjoy life. And to just to kind of, like, twist the knife a little bit at the very end, though, the record starts skipping and she, like, turns to look at the record player, but that's right where the camera is. So she's staring, like, right at you.
Right.
And as we just hear this, like, loop of, like, a couple seconds of music, and then it just, like, cuts to, like, hard cuts to black. That's right.
I would say that's a abrupt ending, but not really, because we did get, you know, basically the climax and obviously, mm-hmm. all the pathos that was in, related to it. So, also, you know what we got? We got a movie with no actual bad guys, which is wild.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, like, I guess Gareth would be the closest to a bad guy, but, like, as the discussion at the end went, like, yeah. You know, he was genuinely trying to do something good, and he, you know,
he was just a little obsessed with it.
Yeah, and, you know, as we see often with our, you know, Victor Frankensteins, he was so single-minded in the goal that he had that he forgot about the people around him. And in this case, the goal and the people were kind of the same.
Yeah, but with all the trauma that he experienced as a child, how are you going to really move past that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would need a miracle to get past all of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, going back to him talking about that, like, you know, I'm asexual. I don't really get any sense of enjoyment or accomplishment out of what we're doing. It just feels like it's... Yeah, he is a broken person doing the best that he can, which is, you know, I mean, that's what we're all doing to some degree or another. We're all imperfect. We're all trying our best. We're all hurting the people we love, you know, and trying to fix that. And sometimes, you know, not being able to, and sometimes being able to, you know, this is, again, what's so cool about Cherry here is that, like, she's a real person by the end of this. She gets hurt by her dad. She forgives her dad, even though she knows he's never going to quite grow out of the mistakes that he's made and everything. It's all just, it feels very, very real and very human, in a way that
I would honestly argue that she's been a human the entire time. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, the fact that she took her own, like, her own path and basically was like, all right, you're not going to do this. I'm going to make it far more efficient for both of us and just tell these other agents.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to build up and, you know.
Yeah.
Effectively makes them rich.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, there's, you know, it's not uncommon for children to
force their parents' hand.
Yeah, oh, and to pursue a life that their parents want them to. You know, my mom wanted me to be a doctor, so I'm a doctor now or whatever. And, like, mm-hmm. you know, it's parents push their kids into places, you know, kids that are not starting out as AI, that are actual humans, get forced into paths by their parents. So, right. like, it feels like that's the case where it's just like, yeah, I don't want to do this, but I know my dad wants me to, and it's a good thing. And it's going to help people, so okay, I'll do it.
And I do appreciate the fact that they had the conversation of, so how's your job? And she's like, it makes me miserable, so I'm going to do something wild that you wouldn't give me the opportunity to do as a child. So.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, again, like, you know, like we said at the beginning, like, it is wild how much this movie is just, like, basically for people primarily.
Just talking, having conversations.
Yeah, talking in static locations, and it, like, really just keeps you on the edge of your seat. Like, it's just, it's beautiful and it's sad, and I've never seen anything quite like this.
It's very unique. And in Act One, it's like, oh no, she's going to become a super bad AI because she's able to make these decisions. No, it's just she wanted to do the best she could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this deserved way more than it got.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, it's definitely a departure from what the kind of things that we usually watch here. But, like, I think it definitely is a Frankenstein story.
Oh, yeah, 100%. This is like Ex Machina, if everything went right, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, we still need to get to Ex Machina. It's on the list. Mm-hmm. We just haven't gotten to it yet. But, yeah, this definitely is like a sister piece with that in a way.
Yeah, this is the light side to it. It's dark side,
right? Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But good job, Tatum Matthews, aka Cherry. A hell of a performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I mean, when you have a young person, it's extra challenging to, like, really put yourself out there in this way as an actor. And it's a tour de force.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Well, anything else we have to say about it? I mean, obviously, if you couldn't tell, we enjoyed the shit out of the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. I highly recommend this. It's a thoughtful, really just heartwarming, kind of like sweetly sad and beautiful movie. And, you know, definitely worth your time.
You know what's okay? So this is kind of a diatribe. If you don't mind me going down this road.
Yeah,
the thing I like most about this, or one of the things I like about this, is clearly whoever wrote this, let me pull that up real quick. I'd be interested. They know technology. They know what's happening on the AI world. They know what's happening, like, as far as AI entertainment goes, right? Because mm-hmm. the way they're talking about it with, like, C++, I mean, that's the major backbone programming language of pretty much everything. Okay, Franklin Rich, the guy who played Gareth, is the writer. So, thumbs up to you, Franklin.
Okay. And director. So, yeah, this is definitely a passion project for him, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you deserved many more awards than whatever you got. So, but, I mean, obviously you know technology. You know what's happening right now in technology. And you extrapolated what probably, hopefully, will happen with technology versus the bad thing of where, like, a corporate asshole just turns Cherry into a sex bot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's be honest. That would probably be what would happen. Or a literal living personal assistant, which they kind of mention with Siri. So.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this, you know, like you said, it's hard to be too hopeful about the way that technology tends to go.
Well, especially when people are wanting to replace writers with AI, mm-hmm. when that's not a thing that can happen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But, feel like...
But it'll be regurgitated garbage. Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I feel like this, at least, it's out there as a piece of art to make you think about how you feel about AI and how you feel about, you know, where that kind of stuff is going to take us down the road. So hopefully it's the kind of movie that builds up a cult following over time, because I feel like it's going to only become more and more relevant as AI becomes more and more prevalent in our society.
Right. And in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, and who knows what will happen? Maybe one day the line will be so blurred that we won't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, I feel like that's coming. I don't know if it'll be in our lifetimes or not, but it will definitely... Oh,
it absolutely will. We'll probably be like in diapers at that point, but it's absolutely going to happen.
Yeah.
So as long as we don't destroy our planet and kill us all.
Right, yeah.
I'm very positive, Anthony. I say all that as I'm smiling. You know, but gallows humor and all. Yeah, I mean... It is a good it's a exploration of what could be.
Absolutely.
All right. Anything else now that I've ended that?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, so now we're going to go from realistic AI to just something that's wildly unrealistic. Maybe something more like a theory, a Frankenstein theory. Insert game theory music here. Next week.
Yeah, this one is from, I guess, about 10 years ago, the Frankenstein theory.
It has a 4.3 out of 10, man.
Yeah, I think this one's, you know, we just had our deeply thoughtful cerebral movie, so we'll do something stupid now. So.
Yeah, we got to let the brains rest, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, where can they find us, Anthony?
Yeah, so you can find us on all the socials at The Frankencast. You can email us at thefrankencast@gmail.com. You can also find us over on YouTube. And, of course, you can find us at patreon.com/thefrankencast, where we're always doing more experimental stuff. You know, if you like us talking about things that are not, like, specifically diehard, like, Frankenstein movies, you know, we're always over there doing something a little bit off the beaten path.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun over there. I definitely encourage checking it out.
Absolutely.
Well, in that case, to be continued.
Looks like you survived another episode. The Freaking Cast is a production of FCR Media. It's hosted by Anthony Bowman and Eric Velasquez. Follow us on Twitter at TheFrankenCast, or send us a letter at TheFrankenCast@gmail.com. Our cover art is by Amanda Keller. You can find her at Keller Illustrations on Instagram. Our theme music is by Vivek Abhishek. Thanks for listening.
Man, I really want you to put, like, the AI to be continued here. But I don't know. I'll just say, to be continued. We'll see what happens.